Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Networking Diva Hour Live. Today, we're doing a combination of live and a replay because, unfortunately, our guest that we scheduled that we were really anticipating to hear about her new book, last minute canceled. I've never had that happen in 10 years. Only one other time did somebody cancel, only because they were in an accident on the way to the studio. But other than that, I apologize. I know a lot of people were waiting to hear about America and Therapy, but we're going to talk about America's Mental Health Awareness today. And there is no guest, but I will be talking about the mental health crisis that we originally planned. And then we will have a replay of a mental health awareness show we had earlier this year. So, you know, I like to start my show with thanking the people that have made it possible, and that is Kathy Bilkus, your Tax Lady Accounting Services, who will be on one more time in December to give you your tax tips on your business, on what the new IRS laws are and all that good stuff that she prepares you for every year. And Kathy has been a long-term sponsor as long as we've had this show, as we just celebrated 10 years on the air. The Center of Gratitude radio show with Dr. Johnny Bergstrom. Not only will he be on for First Friday blogs in December, but he will do one last presentation in December on the importance of gratitude. And I just want to remind you, when he was on not too long ago, now that Thanksgiving is coming up this week, he stated, don't just bring a dish, bring his book, Gratitude Changes Everything, for the hostess. They will love you for it. That was such an awesome idea, and I know I'm doing that. So thank you, Dr. Bergstrom, for that wonderful tip as we enter into Thanksgiving week. My other sponsor since 2015 is Shield 616, Protecting Our Protectors. And then the Colorado Springs Over 50.com app. If you haven't downloaded that yet, you're missing out. So please, please, please make sure you download Colorado Springs Over 50.com. And also, just to shout out there, I'd like to thank everyone that has been a sponsor on the show, that has allowed us to advertise them to keep the show going, as I quoted, for 10 long years. Live radio, not a podcast, not a recording. Unfortunately, we are going to have part of a recording today, but we have some announcements, and we're going to have Jennifer on here shortly to announce her latest event. And whatever else is going on this weekend, I'm not aware of other than Jennifer's event, and I'll let her talk to you about that. But it's getting into that time. You know, the end week from now, it'll be Black Friday. Are you prepared? You know, Black Friday has started over a couple of years ago at the end of October. All these big box stores and Amazon and all that have done Black Friday deals before Black Friday. But then there's some diehards that still, you know, put up a tent outside their Best Buy or wherever to get the best deals on the actual Black Friday. But with today's changes in the world since COVID and we order online, a lot of people can get great deals on Black Friday. So next week, we usually have a Black Friday show, but I will be traveling, so I will not have a Black Friday show. But you can go into the networkingdivahour.com. No, you can go into blogtalkradio.com/thenetworkingdivahour, and you can look up Black Friday or date or by guest or Black Fridays in the past and see how we are promoting the Black Friday deals. So you can do that. It's listener's choice next Friday. But as I said, we're going to talk a little bit about America in therapy, why more Americans are going to therapy here shortly. But I'm going to play a few commercials from past sponsors to give them one more shout out, because as you know, the end of next month, 29th of December, will be the final show for the Networking Diva Hour Live. I'm giving it up after 10 years live on the air, and I want to thank everyone who's listened, but let's go ahead and play an old commercial, or a few, and then we'll be right back with an announcement before we start our show.
Tax laws have changed again this year, so see what the team at Nelson & Company, Katie, Becky, and Allie, can do for you. They offer comprehensive life events planning, business tax, investment strategies, and specialize in providing rapid, high-quality financial services. All clients are treated with courtesy and integrity, and we guarantee efficient, honest financial services. Contact the team at Nelson & Company at 719-444-0222 or online at nelsonandcompanycpa.com. Our firm is referral only, and we cannot accept walk-in meetings.
Jack seasoning is a classic Midwest flavor used for all things bland that needs just a little shake to bring out the goodness. Their unique flavor is subtle, not hot or exotic. From meats, vegetables, and eggs to Bloody Marys, this three-generation-old blend gives the satisfying feeling of home. Jack seasoning will make you a grill master, too. Shake once for flavor, twice for extreme, and three times for crazy. Visit our website at Jack, that's J-A-K, seasoning.com, to order and see recipes. Jack Seasoning turns a cook into a chef with one shake. Mountain Vapor Lounge in beautiful Woodland Park, Colorado, carries certified pure therapeutic-grade essential oils and a variety of premium CBD products. They also have products that are either isolate, broad, or full-spectrum CBD, along with tinctures, edibles, and bath and body for you to try. Call 719-888-9523 today to speak with their wellness advocate. They truly care about your wellness and will take the time to help find the right product for you. Check them out today at mountainvaporlounge.com and also on Facebook. Mountain Vapor Lounge, more than a vape shop.
Hi, I'm Dr. Johnny Bergstrom from the Center of Gratitude. As a personal metaphysical coach, I work with folks all over the world to heal their hearts, mend their minds, and strengthen their spirits with gratitude. And I can help you do the same. Tune into my show, The Gratitude Doctor, right here on Blog Talk Radio, anytime you need a boost. For more information, visit thegratitudedoctor.org.
Back to the Networking Diva Hour with your host, Janice Carlson.
Welcome back, listeners. Wanted to play a few blasts from the past before we get into today's show. Before I do the recording, I was hoping I would have that announcement ready for you, but it's not ready. So I wanted to talk a little bit about why more Americans are going to therapy. The number of Americans seeking mental health treatment is almost twice as high as it was two decades ago, reflecting a historic recent decline in mental health, but also an increase in virtual care access and a positive trend of destigmatization. In 2004, just 13% of adults said they had visited a therapist, psychiatrist, or other mental health professionals within the past year. According to a Gallup polling in 2022, the number was up 23%. While the shift began before COVID-19 arrived, the pandemic drove a new surge in demand for care, particularly among the young adults. The share of Americans aged 18 to 44 who have received mental health treatment like medication, counseling, or therapy over the past 12 months jumped from 18.5% to more than 23% between 2019 and 2021. Data from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention have shown that. Without a doubt, shortly after the pandemic started, there was a huge demand for services. Associated Professor Daniel Friedberg of Psychiatry at the University of Chicago stated, a majority of psychologists reported seeing more patients seek help for disorders related to anxiety, depression, or stress in 2020 and again 2021 and 2022, according to an annual survey from the American Psychological Association. Many health experts link the increased demand to plummeting mental health during the pandemic, which led to spikes in the number of Americans reporting depression and anxiety. Some health experts think the number tells another story. However, one about the success of teletherapy. Research shows that there is evidence for rising rates of depression, especially among young people. But the most important factor driving the increase in demand of psychotherapy is a basic structural change and how psychotherapy is delivered. There is still stigma attached to mental health illness and seeking help to work through. But that stigma is weakening, especially among young people. Another factor that has contributed to more Americans receiving mental health treatment in recent years. Study shows that the Gen Z generation, consisting of those born in 1997 or later, is far more comfortable speaking about mental health than older generations. And Gen Zers are also more likely to have received treatment for their mental health or gone to therapy. A 2019 report from the American Psychological Association showed that 37% of Gen Z has received psychological treatment or gone to therapy compared to 35% of millennials and 26% of Gen Zers. While more Americans are seeking out help with their mental health, however, there aren't enough professionals to treat them. And that gap is expected to get worse. Oh, that's not good news. The Department of Health and Human Services has estimated the national deficit in mental health care providers, including positions ranging from psychiatrists to school counselors to family therapists, could amount to a shortfall of more than 10,000 professionals by 2025. Psychotherapy is a collaborative treatment based on the relationship between an individual and a psychologist. A psychologist provides a support environment that allows patients to talk openly with someone who is objective, neutral, and non-judgmental. Most therapy focuses on individuals, although psychotherapists also work with couples, families, and groups. It is important to find the right match when choosing a therapist. Most psychologists agree that an important factor is determining the best fit is your level of personal comfort with that person. Now, that is pretty sad to know that the deficit shows not enough health professionals that can help us. You know, that's pretty sad. So, I don't know. Like nurses, you know, we're going to be short of nurses, hopefully not doctors, but that's the announcement that they have been making. Well, we are going to get back to our show, and I'm going to play that mental health recording from May of this year. Please, ladies and gentlemen, I made the announcements for today, November 17, 2023. Ignore the announcements I'm going to be making in the recording because they're not valid. That was back in April or May that we're going to be playing for you. But right now I want to play just two more of our current sponsors that have been with us since time began with the Networking Diva Hour Live. So please take a moment to hear them, and then we'll talk about setting up the recording. This is your host, Janice Carlson. I will be right back.
Accounting can be one of the most time-consuming aspects of operating a small business, but it is paramount to the success of your business, especially since 2021. The work can be extremely overwhelming for business owners who lack the time, knowledge, and skills to properly handle their accounts. Your Tax Lady LLC Accounting Service utilizes their knowledge and experience to professionally handle your small business accounting needs. They are also equipped to remotely handle most small business needs nationwide and welcome you to contact them for a consultation. Your Tax Lady, Kathy Bilkus, is an enrolled agent and America's tax expert working for you for over 40-plus years. Call Your Tax Lady today at 719-548-4924 or online at taxladyllc.com. Your Tax Lady continues to check your bottom line so the government still doesn't get it all.
You hear all the time about what is in your water. As you also heard, bottled water is not absorbed. It's only 15% hydration. You need water that is actually absorbed at 85% with antioxidants to boost your immune system. Oasis for Water recommends, and so do I, 9.5, but it has to be made that way through electrolysis, never with chemicals added. They only pour Kangen water at Oasis for Water and have information sessions on the water, health, and business. I have been benefiting for over 5 years now. This is a free water shop in Colorado Springs, so you can try it for yourself. Anyone interested in attending these meetings or finding out how this water can change your life, call 719-930-2359 or 719-360-2998 and go to KangenofColorado.com for information. Kangen water, often imitated, but never duplicated.
Now back to the Networking Diva Hour with your host, Janice Carlson.
Welcome back, listeners. Well, we didn't get Jennifer Fisher on, but she wanted to talk about tomorrow's event, When Holidays Collide, and that is tomorrow the 18th, Saturday from 10 to 3 at 6225 Lehman Drive in Colorado Springs. If you're here in Colorado Springs, please join in the fun of the When Holidays Collide by Mysteries of the 13th production. I'm saying it backwards, I'm sure. Mystery of the 13 Souls Productions. And they're going to be putting on another wonderful event again tomorrow from 10 to 3 at 6225 Lehman Drive in Colorado Springs. and it's all about when holidays collide. So definitely get yourself down there for a fun time. Sorry, Jennifer couldn't give us more detail, but that's all I have. So we are going to go into this recording that we had back in May. So you're going to hear the show start all over again. But again, please ignore the details of the events if I mention any. Just pay attention to the wonderful guest we had back then who talked about how she almost gave up because of her mental health. It's just a personal story that I thought you would like to hear again when America's mental health awareness is taking front and center these days. And then I'll be back at the end. And don't forget, this is Thanksgiving week. Be grateful, show gratitude, and enjoy this replay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Networking Diva Hour radio show, always live, always heard worldwide.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Networking Diva Hour today, and always a special thanks to the new listeners out there. Welcome. I'm your host, Janice Carlson, for the next hour and every Friday morning here live on Blog Talk Radio. We are so happy each week to bring this program to you and give many tips on the do's and don'ts from networking, current events, to being the best that you can be, and all business information in between. We hope to guide you to success and to help put your best foot forward professionally, financially, and effectively. We look forward to your emails, your chats, your posts, your tweets. You can reach us in the chat room or send me an email at host@thenetworkingdivahour.com, and we will answer your questions to the best of our ability and help lead you to success. I say to you every week, if you're always networking, when are you working your business? So grab a latte and sit back and enjoy the show.
We have a beautiful quote today in reference to our continuance of Mental Health Month, and it's from Shannon Purser, and she stated, "Mental health affects every aspect of your life. It's not just this neat little issue you can put into a box." So thank you, Shannon, for that. We really appreciate you sending that in, and we definitely want to talk a lot more about mental health as we continue this month. Yes, we continue this month with the Mental Health Awareness Month, and yesterday was Mental Health Awareness Day, where you were supposed to take time for yourself, for your family, for your employees, for your organization, for your community, just an hour, and notice and help with mental health issues. So today, as we continue our Mental Health Awareness Month, we will have Melanie Mitchell Wexler, who's a career coach, job search expert, LinkedIn strategist. She's bringing 20 years of experience to our show today with a story of how she lost it in 2017 and how she dug her way out of her hole to be a successful coach that she is today. So we're looking forward to hearing from Melanie at the break of the show. But right now, you know I always like to start my show with thanking the people that have made it possible. You know, we're celebrating 10 years in just a few months as we do our Networking Diva Hour live for the last time in December. Yes, 10 years we've been on the air with very successful stories, guests from all over the world. And but it's going to be going away the last Friday of the month of December. So please continue to stay tuned. We're pretty booked through most of the year with things that I know my audience likes to hear because they texted me or they emailed me and let me know. So let's start with thanking Kathy Bilkus, your Tax Lady Accounting Services, who has been with me for the 10 years as a sponsor for the show. She gets a lot out of it customer-wise, and she knows that it brings good things to the community. The Center of Gratitude Radio Show with Dr. Johnny Bergstrom, your gratitude doctor out of Jupiter, Florida. He's been with us for about 6-7 years. Shield 616, Protecting Our Protectors, has been with us since they started Shield 616 back in 2015. The Colorado Springs Over 50.com has been with us for a couple of years, and if you haven't downloaded that business app, you're missing out. And my latest sponsor this year is Jack Seasoning, the only seasoning you'll ever need again. And they have been around for 3 generations, but it was always hard to get here. It's across the country. They just got an account at Ace in Golden, Colorado, and we are really, really trying hard to get it into the Ace on Austin Bluffs in Colorado Springs. And thank you for the people that have been going in and asking for it just to get them stirred up and hear that we want to definitely have it in this Ace store. It'll make you a grill master, and the actual grill manager, as he advertises the grills for the summer, will be displaying that once they have it, because it is the best seasoning, and you'll hear through the commercial. So thank you, sponsors, for all you do and all you have done over the years. And I'm looking forward to talking to our guest. I don't have any announcements what this weekend is. I do hope that everyone had an awesome Mother's Day last week and treated their mothers, stepmothers, you know, people who are being like a mother to them, mother-in-laws, whatever. I hope you treated them well. I know I got treated extremely well, and I just love the fact that we take a day. And next month will be Father's Day, so you'll get your kudos also, Dad. So I hope you treated your wives and mothers and everyone well. But like I said, I don't have anything going on that I am aware of this weekend. Next weekend, Memorial Day already. So are you getting everything ready to have friends and family barbecues and go to the parades and go to the territory days here in the Springs and all the fun things to say summer is here, even though it's been very wet this week? We look forward to Memorial Day weekend when we could start planting here in Colorado and just having fun over the summer. So I'm going to talk a little bit about mental health before Melanie comes on. And I'm going to talk about leveraging resilience to manage stress and burnout. And we got this from NAMI, I think a year ago. Had sent in so much information, maybe we didn't get to it, or maybe you've heard this before. But healthcare is increasingly seen as a complex, adaptive system in which resilience is a key factor in creating patient safety. A need exists to understand how organizations are able to perform with success under varying conditions, that is, to be resilient. So far, the attention in resilience research has been on the sharp end of the system, such as emergency departments and clinicians' adaption of work practices to consistently varying conditions. However, we have limited knowledge about the role of regulators and managers in creating and supporting environments and cultivate resilience. So we have to learn more about that. The lack of progress has resulted in the claim that traditional approaches along are insufficient for understanding patient safety and need to be supplemented with an alternative conceptualization. Such approaches conceptualize safety as rooted in the complexity of healthcare systems and point out that failures and successes both originate from performance variability on individual and systematic levels. That was a mouthful. This has led scholars to propose resilience in healthcare as a way forward. Resilience in healthcare is positively defined as a proactive capacity of actors within healthcare systems to adapt to the potentially harmful influences, challenges, and changes rather than to resist them, resulting in safe care. Resilience capacities involve aspects such as flexibility, anticipation, improvisation, adaption, redundancy, monitoring, learning, and variability. This story today further develops this perspective by reflecting on some of our previous research exploring resilience in different healthcare settings, in which one aspect particularly stands out as an unresolved and under-researched. Perhaps some of the reasons for the lack of research attention to regulation and management as potential sources of resilience is the critique of regulators and managers establishing too many rules, too much standardization, too much focus on resource allocation and external control mechanisms for an adaptive system such as healthcare. Instead of looking at regulatory and management as being contradictory to resilience, we argue that there is a need to discuss how we can stimulate resilience through regulation and management. You know, success in leveraging resilience into regulation and management requires acknowledgement, develop, and use reflexive spaces where people within and across organizations meet, where they share experiences and create opportunities for learning. The characteristics of reflective spaces and trust, dialogue, respect, and a psychological safe atmosphere is what they create. So, the classic definition of stress is the response our bodies and minds have to demand placed upon them and interpretations we assign to those demands. Stress can actually force us to prioritize our tasks in a way that allows us to begin to tackle the most important work first, triggering adrenaline as a way to compensate for the perception and there's just too much on our plate and we do not have the time to accomplish all our tasks. And when we begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel, we feel better when we know our situation probably was only temporary. Further research should focus on how different regulatory content stimulate such spaces, how regulators and managers might use these approaches and more traditional punitive approaches, and that and what mechanisms underline such new approaches. When we experience stress for an extended period of time without being able to alter, change, or remove it, we can begin to feel empty, numb, devoid of motivation, hopeless, and beyond caring. Burnout is a state of emotional and physical exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. The classic definition of stress, as I said, our bodies and mind have the demand placed upon them and the interpretations we assign to those demands. When we experience stress for an extended period of time, as I mentioned, without being able to change it, we do feel empty, numb, and devoid and lose motivation. Hopelessness arrives and beyond caring. You know, the definition of burnout was first coined by the psychologist Herbert Freudenberger in 1974 when he described it as a depletion of exhaustion of a person's physical or mental resource attributed to his or her prolonged yet unsuccessful striving towards realistic expectations, internally or externally derived. Burnout is about not having enough energy, motivation, or passion. The thought is usually, I know it will never get better. But think about that. You know, think about how your mind works and what your words say and all that, you know. Because as you can hear, there is major distinction between stress and burnout. Stress involves too much and burnout, not enough. Not enough. Everyone experiences stress in one form or another. In raising a child, for instance, or in schoolwork, at our jobs, and having an ill member, family member that you're taking care of, with financial pressures, marital problems, addiction, and being homeless. Using the example of a homeless person, constant and prolonged stressors may include not having shelter in an inclement weather situation, adequate food, poor hygiene, medical problems, untreated mental illness, the risk of addiction, and encountering a bad element on the streets. In the face of the day-to-day constant stressors or anxiety, depression, and in many cases, post-traumatic stress disorder with no end in sight, we can see how someone can turn from thinking that their situation is temporary and resolvable to the helpless and hopeless thoughts that being burned out can bring. Without some form of intervention, it's easy to see how someone can remain stuck, apathetic, and lack in physical or mental energy to change their situation. And we know that for many of the homeless people that we see that have mental issues, especially after COVID, people that didn't have issues before, that were not homeless, that were locked up for over a year without their family or friends or favorite restaurants or anything, just sitting home watching the boob tube. Their situation could have changed dramatically to the dark side, which we're finding out now. However, not everyone's situation is as dire as someone who is homeless. Stress and burnout can also affect someone who is employed and appears, at least from the outside, to be doing well. Many jobs, including both blue and white collar jobs, come with a great deal of stress. Among other things, the stress can stem from the requirements of high-level performance, having to step up when a problem emerges, responsibilities for staff productivity, and working in difficult environments, sometimes with difficult people. Those in the helping professions, especially doctors, social workers, nurses, and techs are all prone to stress. And you've seen as the doctors and nurses over COVID were at their wits' end. They could not imagine in their career that they would have to lose as many people as they did. And that causes depression, stress, and burnout. And what is often called caregiver fatigue and failure. Those who work with complicated medical cases, with children and adolescents, with the elderly, with acute psychiatric patients, and with addicts, prisoners, and the abused and neglected are at high risk still to this day on for burnout. So what else is most vulnerable for burnout? Let's talk about that. Those who work exclusively with distressed people, those who are charged with responsibility to many individuals, personalize their work, those who have an inordinate need to save people, those who are overly perfectionist and idealistic, those who feel guilty about their own needs, those who work with others who are already burned out, experience a lack of appreciation by supervisors, coworkers, and even family, have unrealistic goals that are daunting rather than motivating, and those who experience vicarious trauma, traumatized by other person's trauma. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what the situation, burnout can occur if you are lacking the awareness as to what all stress is doing to you. Where most of these are familiar stressors, we don't often talk about the last, experiencing vicarious trauma. And we'll hear more about stress and burnout when we have our guest, Melanie Mitchell Wexler, here in just a few moments, talk to you with her expertise. But right now we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. And this is your host, Janice Carlson. I hope you enjoyed that little bit of information, and please take a moment to hear from our sponsors.
Do you often find yourself struggling to find the joy in every day? Would you like to feel as good as you know you should? The daily struggle to find joy and happiness is shared by hundreds of millions of people around the world, and you don't have to be among them any longer. Hi, I'm the Gratitude Dr. Johnny Bergstrom. For years, I struggled to find the joy that I knew I should feel, and after years of heartache and unhappiness, I treated my life with gratitude, and gratitude changed everything. I can coach you to heal your life with gratitude. Find the Center of Gratitude radio show and the Gratitude Doctor podcast, and in 15 minutes or less, you'll be well on your way to that joyful feeling with gratitude.
Accounting can be one of the most time-consuming aspects of operating a small business, but it is paramount to the success of your business, especially since 2021. The work can be extremely overwhelming for business owners who lack the time, knowledge, and skills to properly handle their accounts. Your Tax Lady LLC Accounting Service utilizes their knowledge and experience to professionally handle your small business accounting needs. They are also equipped to remotely handle most small business needs nationwide and welcome you to contact them for a consultation. Your Tax Lady, Kathy Bilkis, is an enrolled agent and America's tax expert working for you for over 40 plus years. Call Your Tax Lady today at 719-548-4924 or online at taxladyllc.com. Your Tax Lady continues to check your bottom line so the government still doesn't get it all.
ColoradoSpringsOver50.com is a newly designed online member directory for businesses and organizations that provide products and services for the over 50 population. The directory features your own marketing landing page, electronic business card, event postings, member page, activity analysis, and more. So text the word CSOver50, that is CSOVER50, to 72727. And visit our website to see other features and benefits. Stop by online today at ColoradoSpringsOver50.com or text to receive our electronic business card. Colorado Springs Over 50, the best is yet to come.
Jack seasoning is a classic Midwest flavor used for all things bland that needs just a little shake to bring out the goodness. Their unique flavor is subtle, not hot or exotic. From meats, vegetables, and eggs to Bloody Marys, this three-generation-old blend gives the satisfying feeling of home. Jack seasoning will make you a grill master, too. Shake once for flavor, twice for extreme, and three times for crazy. Visit our website at Jack, that's J-A-K, seasoning.com, to order and see recipes. Jack seasoning turns a cook into a chef with one shake.
Back to the Networking Diva Hour with your host, Janice Carlson.
Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for taking a moment to hear from some of our wonderful sponsors. I'm going to talk a little bit about our guest today. Melanie Mitchell Wexler is a career coach, job search expert, and LinkedIn strategist, bringing over 20 years of experience as a recruiter, having worked with professionals at all levels throughout the United States. Melanie pivoted into career coaching in 2017. She brings the innate knowledge of the market to her clients now, and they navigate the job search process. Having spent 20 years as a recruiter, Melanie pivoted, as I mentioned, into coaching in 2017, driven by wanting to help job seekers understand the job market and truly pulling the curtain open to what happens behind the scenes, with the ultimate goal of helping job seekers find meaningful and fulfilling work. She now works with the mid-level career professionals at C-level, executives coming from all different industries. Please, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome today Melanie Mitchell Wexler. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm awesome. Are you having a good day, Melanie?
You know what? I actually am. I got a chance to get my workout in this morning, and I got a chance to talk to my daughter and get caught up with her. So I have a lot of work to get done today, but, you know, so far it's been good, and I'm glad to be here today.
Great. And you're going to have to talk directly into your phone or whatever you're using because you
okay.
just spaced out a little bit.
Sorry about that. Is that better?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Perfect.
You don't want to miss a word that you have to
yes.
say. And, you know, I've been advertising, and I spoke about it earlier, and it's, you know, states it in your bio that you have been working for a long time. But today we want to add just something a little different because this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And when I was reading your story, I said this needs to be heard. So let's start with that before we go into all the great things that you're doing now of how this all came about and almost derailed you from being who you are today.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. When I have probably had it my entire life, I know there's, if I look back on it, but growing up, we didn't talk about mental health. We didn't have a name for it. I can recognize events and situations that I experienced as a child that I look back on and go, well, that was clearly anxiety coming out. Clearly did not have the resources or, you know, just the knowledge. I never had a name for it. So I wasn't officially diagnosed until I was much older in life and still had trouble throughout my career as a recruiter, which is a very demanding, high stressful type of position. You always have to be on, you know, on kind of on call, so to speak, where you really have to, you know, you have to be a people person. You don't have an opportunity to you know, have an episode of anxiety or a panic attack or anything of that nature. So you have to always, you know, you have to be ready for everybody. And what happened is I left the company. I was with them for over 8 years. This was at the end of 2016. I wasn't actually going to be a coach. That wasn't ever the plan. I knew I was going to take some time off to kind of figure out, you know, the always the pivotal question of, like, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I knew I was in a transition period. So I chose to go work for a friend. We had a very complicated relationship, but I was still very committed in helping him grow his business and thought it would be a great new opportunity. What actually ended up happening through the year of 2017 was this became a very toxic situation. He, unfortunately, is a very narcissistic individual, and I did not flourish at all. In fact, I was, you know, really belittled, and I allowed myself in many ways, but I lost all confidence in myself and my ability. Luckily, I was able to get myself out of that situation. I went back into the workforce, but I struggled. I was at my lowest of lows. That gentleman that was a former friend had not been paying me. I really didn't have a good self-esteem or self-image of myself, and my anxiety was probably at an all-time high at that point, which was really, it was becoming crippling. And I suffered a lot of setbacks career-wise because I wasn't at my best, and I wasn't taking care of my mental health. I was so all over the place. And so I went through this journey of hitting what I call rock bottom. I was a single mother. My career, which had been stellar up until that point, was really in the gutter. And it was everything it took for me to get out of bed in the morning. And I had a couple of really good friends that would, one of my best friends to this day, he would literally text me, he would call me, and just to make sure that, like, okay, you got to get out of, you know, you can't go back to bed after you drop your daughter off at school. You have to, you know, you have to go do something. What are you doing? So he really started to push me there. I was able to get in touch with two different coaches that offered their services for me. By the grace of, you know, God, honestly, they did not charge me. They were just willing to coach me for free, which I was just, I don't even know how they came into my life at that point, to be very honest. But they helped rebuild my mindset. They helped me rebuild my confidence in myself. And through all of that, I started to do this coaching business, but I did it as a side because I was, like, trying to make money. I was trying to rebuild myself financially. And then through that, I started to do it and was getting more and more requests to work with people. And I actually went back to work, you know, I was working full-time for a company in D.C. and was doing both of those. My daughter had gone to go live with her dad up in Connecticut, so I was you know, kind of an empty nester, so to speak. And I, you know, started to rebuild my life. And it was one step at a time, but it was definitely coming from, I started a business. People say you start a business on a shoestring budget. I joke that I didn't have a shoestring. But I had no, like, confidence in myself. I had really hit rock bottom in 2017. And through a lot of self-work, through a lot of, help from friends and support, I regained that confidence in myself, but also understood that I always have to make sure that my mental health is a priority for me in order to kind of keep my anxiety in check. Because if my anxiety does spiral, like I know many, it can happen to many, then it becomes depression, and that becomes, you know, further makes that road to recovery much harder.
Right, right. Wow. So let's take a quick question because this came in as you were talking about it. It's from Bob L. from Bend, Oregon. He says, what exactly is generalized anxiety disorder?
So it could be, it's generalized anxiety is really just, there can be a couple of numerous there can be generalized things that cause you to get anxious. And everybody triggers their anxiety. Their triggers for their anxiety is very different. And from that standpoint, so it, I can, you know, for me, what would happen is I would get into a point of where I could not stop. Like I would literally just stop dead in my tracks. No matter if I had a stack of like things that had to get done that day, I couldn't function. Like I would almost like because I'd sit down on the couch and I couldn't respond to anybody. I couldn't be able to, you know, just even process the simplest things. Like if you had said, hey, what are we having for dinner? If I was in that state of mind at that point, I couldn't make simple decisions because it feels so overwhelming. It feels like you're, you know, it feels like you're seeing everything moving around you, but you're trapped in your own mind and your own body. You know this simple decision, but yet you have no capacity to be able to make that. So everybody has different triggers, but in general, you know, it's just things that cause, typically stress will cause, you know, those triggers if you're not handling your stress appropriately, and being able to, you know, respond. What would be a normal response for somebody else becomes a daunting task for somebody that has that is going through an anxiety attack in that moment.
Wow. Wow, that sounds pretty serious. Let's take one more question before we move on because I have a question for you too. But this is from Betty J. from Baltimore, Maryland, and she's asking, can you share how supported you felt by others around you, your friends, family, or otherwise, when you were going through this hard time?
Yeah, that was the saving grace for me. So I had left this relationship and this working relationship where I had been surrounded by a lot of people, you know, so-called friends. And when, you know, when the, we'll just say the crap hit the fan and the fallout of the relationship and everything of that nature happened, you know, your real friends really showed up. And this individual that I had been with and had been around, you know, was the belief that, you know, like having this large group of friends was like this big, you know, secret to your success. And the reality was, for me, that wasn't true. For me, I needed, there were literally two people in my life that, outside of my family, that were just there. They never questioned me. They didn't try to fix me. They didn't try to tell me, you know, they encouraged me to do things, but they accepted me for where I was in that moment. And they didn't abandon me either. And so I went from having this large group of friends to having, you know, a very small intimate circle. I also have to give props. My son was in college at that time out in Missouri. I'm actually in Baltimore, too. And so I have to give props to my amazing daughter, who was a teenager at that time. And she's an amazing human being. And, of course, I love her as her mother, but she really is just an amazing human being. And she honestly was, you know, a huge rock for me. And it's never a burden that I wanted her to ever feel or to have, but she understood. She understood that there were going to be times that I couldn't necessarily, you know, be in those sense of, you know, that sense of, you know, just in that sense of being able to make really strong decisions. I also have to give props to my ex-husband as well. We've worked really hard to have a very amicable relationship, and we're very good friends. And so he's always been very understanding from that standpoint as well. So I was, you know, and then at that time, too, my parents have since passed, but my parents were very supportive and tried to help as best as they could, even being back in Missouri and me being out in Maryland. So, you know, I was very fortunate what I call a core group of people, but it was the people that chose, you know, it was the people that stood by me when I was at my lowest.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, you talk about that hard year and how you came back to be a coach and who you are today. Can you tell my audience the first steps you took? Because that is so extreme. And I know you said you were being treated and you had people helping you, but
what were the first steps to get out of that frame of mind of not being aware or conscious of simple decisions?
Yeah, you know, the first steps for me, it was little things. So it would be like not, you know, because at the there were points that I went through some unemployment and then would get a job and then I got laid off. And so, you know, this occurred throughout the bulk of 2017. And so I felt like I had thrown away a career. I felt like I had totally screwed up my life. I was, you know, it wasn't a pity party. It was literally like, well, what the heck did I just do to myself? And what did I do to my daughter and my son and, you know, our family? And I took the stability away. So I carried all of these burdens. And, you know, it impacted me in so many ways. But part of it where I just got started was literally, so I'd take my daughter to school and I would go and work out at, not work out, I would go and work from Starbucks or, you know, a Panera or someplace like that. And I would work there, and whether that meant working, whether it was for a, you know, a somebody that had hired me to do their resume, or if it was just applying for jobs, I didn't allow myself to, I started to get back into a routine, even when I didn't necessarily have to have one. Because going back to our apartment at that time, it would be very, it was hard, you know, and even if I didn't have, you know, any money to spend or anything like that, I would get one, you know, drink or get a, you know, a big cup of water and, you know, just make that stretch throughout the day, because it was literally going back there. Sometimes I would go to the library. I tried to mix it up, but just to give myself a new space and just an atmosphere so that I was around other people and I wasn't necessarily alone in my thoughts. That was the first and foremost, was just breaking that up and not allowing myself to, you know, go back, because often what would happen in the beginning, I would just go back and lay down and go to bed. And because wow. I was so tired, because part of having anxiety in general is you do, a lot of people suffer from fatigue. They have trouble concentrating. They have a lot of trouble sleeping, which, you know, is something I'm not a great sleeper. To this day, I'm not a great sleeper. So you would just feel like this extra, you know, burden. And of course it's a bad cycle, because then you tell yourself, well, I'm a failure because I didn't do anything today. So it was just breaking up that routine. And then also talking to others too, you know, just making sure I stayed in touch and kind of had, you know, I wouldn't say they were accountability partners, but they were checking in on me, you know, making sure that I was doing the small things. Because sometimes when you're in that state, it is, you know, it's literally, it's basically you worry constantly about every single issue and everyday situations that you're faced with. And you go to the worst case scenario of like, oh my God, are we going to get evicted? Are we, you know, like I can go into a dark, excessive worry hole quicker than you've ever seen, you know. When I'm in that state, I can go there. And so when I started then working with these two lovely ladies that were coaches, we started to work on my mindset. And that's even something that while I'm not a mindset coach, I do talk to my clients about the mindset when it comes to their job search, because some people, and there's a lot of people right now that are experiencing unemployment or are, you know, going through a lot because of the economy and what's happening in the world.
Right.
And, you know, and so a lot of times I just, you know, I share my story because one, when I started to accept for the fact of what this is a part of me, and even though today, for example, you know, I can kind of, I'm better now about recognizing when I'm kind of going there, and I have the tools to really focus. I have to work on it every single day of my life. It never goes away. You know, it's never going to, you know, I do take medication to help kind of stave off those, you know, keep my anxiety level down, keep that, you know, a normalized level, I suppose. But You know, it's something that I have to be mindful of, that I can easily go down a rat. You know, I could go down a rabbit hole if I don't take care of myself.
Wow. That answers a question we had coming in from Mark L. from Denver, Colorado. He was asking, and you kind of just mentioned it, do you ever have times where you feel your mental health is slipping back to the hard times you had?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things I'm really, this will be kind of sound a little weird. So even in the, so 2017, I always say, was my hardest year of my life. And I preface this by saying that I lost my father in the summer of 2019. And unfortunately, my mom got diagnosed right after my father's services with stage 4 colon cancer. And she, and we lost her in December of 2020. So I had that back to back. And honestly, because of the work that I have done, if I was going to, you know, go down a rabbit hole, back-to-back parent deaths would have probably been my breaking point. And I'm not going to say there weren't times that I was at my best, because I wasn't. But I have not allowed myself to go back to that space, because I remember how bad it was. And it was the worst I had ever, probably. So my daughter will turn 21 in September. Right after she was born, I had very bad anxiety attacks. And that was actually, so it's about 20 years now that I got officially, for the first time, officially diagnosed. Now, I will say, I can tell you, again, times in my childhood, they wanted to say, and I'm sure part of it was postpartum depression, but it lasted for a long time, and every doctor was like, oh, this is postpartum depression, this is postpartum depression. And I was literally like, this doesn't, like, feel, like, it feels like something else. You know, it feels like this, like, depression medicine isn't working. Like, that's not helping me. And it was something, and I couldn't really ever pinpoint it or tell you, but finally, because I continued to pursue it, and things were not, you know, everything that they prescribed didn't work. Finally, I had a doctor that was just asking, you know, some questions, and I don't even remember 20 years ago, but she asked me certain questions, and she's like, you have anxiety. She's like, that's what you have. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're not being treated for what you have. So, you know, because this went well on, you know, like, I postpartum, you know, it was, I'm sure part of it was, but the anxiety, I'm sure, was adding to it. And so that was a bad time, because I wasn't a very dark place at that point, but the 2017 was probably even darker than that. And so I did try to always work really hard during the times that we were dealing with our parents. Again, had low points, of course. I mean, I still do. I mean, I still get there, but I don't allow myself to. I work really hard not to allow myself to stay in that space. And
right,
whether that
right.
means, like, for me, you know, I am on a weight loss journey for myself. That's a whole other thing. But for me too, the working out, for example, isn't about just the weight loss. It's about being, you know, for me, working out is for my mind.
Right.
So I know, like, if I need to work out, I need to go and have that, you know, so that's something that's in my schedule, you know, every single week. And I've really made it. This year, I've really made that a non-negotiable. So if I have it scheduled, even if a client's like, hey, can we do this? Or, hey, I can't find a time on your calendar. Can you move, you know, can you let me know if there's other times available? I don't negotiate that period of time.
Oh.
Because
great.
So
what you're saying is that you are putting yourself first.
Yes. And
okay,
I won't,
that's an important
yeah.
thing to say.
Absolutely. You have to make that a priority. And I know and even though my children are older, you know, and I know when their kids are younger, it's harder, because you want to be, sometimes you feel like you have to be everything to everybody, whether that's a spouse or a partner or your kids, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your other family members. Maybe it's work, you know, or even your friends. So sometimes if I'm not up to, sometimes I am not up to going out and being around large groups of people. Like that can stress me out sometimes. And if I'm a little stressed with work, I used to like force my hand, but what that makes me is even when I do go in those situations, then I would come like, I would come home almost exhausted and depleted because I'm using every energy I have to show up. And so I'm mindful of kind of like, am I in that space where I can be that, in that, you know, in that place? If not, I don't, you know, I feel bad sometimes. I do still feel bad if I don't always go out with like my friends and things for events. But I do try to always, you know, prioritize and understand what my mind and what my body needs, because that way I can continue to show up in the best possible way.
Well, that sounds like you really, you know, you that was the best turnaround, the fact that you put yourself first. And do you feel that when you became a career coach and a job search expert that this has kept you on that path to continue to put yourself first and not go down that rabbit hole again?
Yeah, so part of it is I think also just speaking to about it. So I don't hide the fact of it. I don't hide the fact that I suffer from, you know, I've seen the darker side, so to speak, that I do suffer from anxiety. I don't hide the fact now. I'm very open with my clients in terms of that. One of the reasons that I now speak about it is because when we release that stigma or we release that, you know, like, you know, just kind of that burden, it doesn't control me anymore. Yes, there is that voice in the, you know, that voice still exists in the back of, you know, my mind. And she does try to make an appearance now and then. And, you know, and we, and, you know, sometimes we have, you know, some conversations. At the beginning of this month, I had got COVID for the very first time after all these years. I am not a good sick person. My anxiety definitely shows up when I'm sick. Like, I will be just like, okay, this, we're going to go, you know, like, I will be like, no, this is, you know, this is bad. This is my, I'm going to, you know, I'll go to the extreme of like, I don't know if I'm going to live. Like, I am a horrible dramatic patient, and my family knows this too. But and so
this must make you successful in your profession now, because you are so open. Your experience is probably what some of these clients have experienced when they come in for coaching or job searching. I'm sure this is a plus on your side to help people out.
I like to think so, because the reality is I am not any different than the next person. And I think we live in a world where we see these perfect people on, you know, social media, or you even, and it doesn't even have to be like, I mean, we all have those, you know, people like on Facebook that you look at and you're like, oh my God, how perfect is their life? You know, they never show themselves without makeup. You know,
right.
The kids are always perfectly dressed. Like, the house is immaculate. You know, it's like, okay, you know, am I failing in life? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
So I don't carry that persona of like, I'm like, you know, guess what? I don't always have my, you know, there's things in my life that aren't together. You know, I'm not like, you know, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to a career, because I built a career around it. And I had to go back to reminding myself. There was a person during this transition that said to me, you have no business, and this was just an acquaintance, but you have no business coaching people because you don't have your life together. And
wow.
And I remember getting really angry. I was just like, how dare you? Like, I just remember, like, how dare you say that? Like, first off, who has their life together? We all have things we should be working on, right? But then I was like, you know what? The stuff I'm going through financially or personally right now has nothing. It doesn't take away my experience and my knowledge that I built up for 20 years. Like, that
right.
still was a part of me. And so that was also a turning point, too, of saying, you know, just because I've got this going on doesn't take away all my knowledge and expertise that I could still give to somebody. Like, you know,
right.
No, don't hire me as your financial coach, but you could, I can help you with your career. You know, like I know my lane. And so I think that was also like a big turning point, is like that actually kind of fueled my fire of like, wow, how dare you say that to me? Like, really? And, you know, I was like, I don't know how much of a life you've got your life together either, dude, but okay.
Yeah. Well,
so,
Melanie,
yeah, so.
If people want to learn more about your coaching or your other you know, LinkedIn strategist and all that, where would they contact you? What's your website?
So,
what information?
Yeah, you can reach out to me through my website, which is findsucceedachieve.com. You can also find me as Melanie Mitchell on LinkedIn as well. But the easiest way is just to go to my website. And again, that's findsucceedachieve.com. And you can message me. You can send me an email directly there. And happy to speak with anyone.
Great. Well, we only got about 5 minutes left, but I do want to get this question in, if you can give a quick answer.
Yeah.
And it's from Tom H. from Monument, Colorado. He stated, we may not be able to see if someone isn't doing 100%, but with a little insight into their state of mind, can we play a valuable role in supporting them to get the help they need?
Absolutely. And the first thing that I would say is, because I did a great job, I can do a great job of masking my anxiety. And typically that means that I take on about 1,001 things. And I can juggle like that. But here's the thing that I would tell people that you can do, and I don't think we do this enough. Simply and sincerely, for that person that's in your life, maybe it's your friend, your cousin, your sister, brother, whoever, simply just send them a message and ask them, how are you doing today? And if they don't respond, but make it a habit and make it a priority to continue to ask that person. Because sometimes people that are going through a lot of struggles aren't going to be the first ones to be like, hey, today sucks. but, you know, like, and it may take a little, you know, it may take a little push and pull. Like, I'm not a great person if I'm a little stressed, I don't like to talk on the phone. So you can text me and I feel more comfortable with that. And so, you know, those are the times, but just continue to do that. Just ask the people in your life, when is the last time that you asked somebody, how are you, like, how are you feeling today?
Right.
How are you doing today? And that simple question can change somebody's day.
Great. Well, you have given such insight today and some good advice, and thank you so much for sharing your story and letting us know that there is life after anxiety disorder, and
yes.
The fact that you became a successful career coach, a job search expert, and LinkedIn strategist, I'm sure people would want to know more. But we're running out of time, so I just want to say thank you so much for being on our show today, and we wish you the best, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from some of us. Thank you so
Great.
Much, Melanie. You have a
thank
good weekend.
You. You do the same. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed that replay along with half of our live show today. A lot of information about mental health awareness and a great personal story and great information in the beginning of the show on America's crisis with mental health. So as they say, if you see something, say something. And it might be as little as someone not acting right or someone looking depressed or suicidal. And we always tell you, if you know anyone that might be considering suicide, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at #988. Or you can dial 1-800-273-TALK. That's 8255. Or go to the suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
because it is happening more and more and more. And like I stated, you know, last week, you know, today is November 17th, which is the 321st day of 2023, and we've had over 600 mass shootings. Every time you turn around, we had a shooting here in Colorado Springs yesterday. Someone tried to shoot up the courthouse, I guess didn't like what the judge said. Unfortunately, one person dead, two injured, and they did capture the person responsible. Now, that's not a mass shooting. It wasn't intended to be. He was probably mad at his attorney or the judge. We don't know the story yet. But people, if you see something, say something. And if anything looks weird, please report it. You know, we'd rather be safe than sorry. And I am so upset that, you know, America's mental health is in therapy, all of us. So next week, coming up, we're already getting into the weekend, is Thanksgiving. Be grateful. Show gratitude. Bring a book with your side dish. And Dr. Johnny Bergstrom has that wonderful book, Gratitude Changes Everything. And that would be a great hostess gift, along with your side dish when you visit with family or friends. So I want to express my severe gratitude again for all my sponsors, for my guests, for the people who have called in with their questions. And next week, like I said, it's Black Friday. So you can go into blogtalkradio.com/thenetworkingdivahour and look up Black Friday shows, and you will hear all about Black Friday shows or gratitude shows. It's listener's choice as we round up November, the end of November. And then the following week, we'll be back with First Friday December blogs for the last time, and we'll be closing out our month with a lot of information for you, and I can't be grateful enough for the 10 wonderful years we have shared together. My audience is everything, and you have kept me afloat along with my sponsors for 10 years on live radio. So thank you. This is your host, Janice Carlson. Happy Thanksgiving, and I will see you on the radio.